Good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you. In my prayers this week, I've been asking God to intervene to the point where we could have services today. So He has blessed us with this time period. We will be able to leave this afternoon and get back to our destinations before the weather turns worse. So, God will protect us, of course. I want to talk on a topic today that we are all familiar with, things that we deal with 24/7. Seven days a week, we come in contact with situations that we must deal with in this life. So I'll ask this question to begin with. How important is it that we keep our promises that we make to each other? More importantly, how important it is that we keep the promises we make to God. We know at the beginning of each year, people make promises that they call New Year's resolutions. And very few of these resolutions or promises are ever kept. Have we ever considered what effect their broken promises can have on someone? So if I promise you something, never kept that promise, would your faith in me be stronger or weaker? I think you know the answer. But what effect can a broken promise have on someone? If you knew someone that continuously to make promises, had a track record of not keeping their promise, how would you feel? How can a broken promise affect us spiritually? How can we mend a broken promise? We won't turn there, but at your leisure, you might read from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 through 6, what God says about broken promises. And also, there is a story, a true story, that we can read in Acts chapter 5 that most of you are familiar with, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We've all read that many times, but we can glimpse through these passages of scriptures and see how God feels about broken promises. All of us here today have at one point in our lifetime had to deal with a promise or promises made to us by someone. We have seen and experienced down through the years that many of those promises was never kept. Sometimes it may have been that the person never intended to keep the promise in the first place. Or certain circumstances happened that was beyond their control that prevented them from keeping the promises that they made. It could have been that they forgot. So we have to be careful not to make judgments in these areas, not knowing the full circumstances. Some of these events we have experienced in our lifetime. So what is a promise? A promise is a declaration of commitment. Scriptures are filled with the promises from God that will never be broken. God will never break his promise. Let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God, God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is according to godliness. In verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We're going to talk a lot about before time began today, because I think that's something that we don't think about too much. Kind of read on past it. Did you realize that God loved you and I long before creation? Long before mankind was created, God the Father and Jesus Christ had plans to create you and I into his image as part of the family of God. The sermon title for today, Living by Faith in the Promises of God. Living by faith in the promises of God. So my purpose is to show that God will always keep his promises. The whole message of Apostle Paul in the New Testament scriptures is the hope of eternal life in the kingdom of God. And this is our hope, brethren. This is what our life should be based on. It should be based on Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. A good memory scripture. We have, without any doubt, the promises of God for a life of eternity in the kingdom of God. So, brethren, we can live by faith on this promise. And how can we say this? We can say this because we know that God will keep his promise. We can say this because we know that God will never lie. Hebrews chapter 6. Turn over there for a moment, please. Hebrews chapter 6. We will read verse 17 and 18. Verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible, see, it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. When we came into the truth, we did not join an institution which began yesterday. The church has centuries of human history behind it and goes back into eternity. The church goes back into eternity in the mind and intent of God. God wants a family, those who will be with Him throughout eternity. And He has this desire long. He had this desire long before time began. I'm going to explain a little bit more about this time began. As I said before, I think a lot of times we just kind of read over this. Before time began, this was God's desire to call those who would be a part of His family. We are on God's mind long before time began. This tells us the love God have for those He who has been called, those who He has created. You know, I think as we go through the sermon today, it should enhance our thinking just how much love God has for us. With our limited ability to think past creation, we can only identify time from creation. But there were two beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ, that were already in existence long before that time. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language gives this as the meaning of the word eternity. It says, eternity, time without beginning or end. So, brethren, we cannot, with our little minds, comprehend time without beginning or end. And yet, this is what God is showing us today through His Word, that we can experience this very existence of eternity in the kingdom of God. And how do we know this? Because God has promised it to those who keep His Word. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We will read two verses, verse 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 19. Now behold, one came and said to Him, which was Christ, said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. We will experience life without end in the kingdom of God. Christ wants us there, brethren, to join Him and the Father for all eternity. Please turn to John chapter 1. Again, we will read two verses that's familiar to all of us. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we realize that this was talking about Christ, of course. Verse 2, He, who was Christ, was in the beginning with God. God the Father and Jesus Christ have always existed. They did not waste the moments that they had together as they made plans to create this vast universe. A universe with no end. We see the scientists like to take a lot of credit for the things that they do, the things that they discover, and they want to leave God out of it. I know that they recently sent up another Hubble telescope. It was going to take something like 6 months out there in space to reach its destination. And that telescope was going to send back information to the scientists that they could determine about the Big Bang that they talk about a lot. But that telescope is going to be limited simply because Scripture shows that there is no end to creation. They can send all the telescopes they want to send out there. They will never go to the end of creation. And it's hard for us to imagine that, but it also tells us, brethren, what a great God that we serve. Things we cannot comprehend. Just think that during the eternity time that we will spend with God and the kingdom, look how our minds will materialize all the things that we can't answer right now. Notice what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, we will read verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. We don't know how long these two beings thought about you and I as being part of the God family. It could have been eons and eons of times that they planned to create the universe. As humans, we live in time because our existence began in Genesis. As we know it, as far as we can go is when we were created. We can't go beyond that in our existence. So in Genesis chapter 1, read verse 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So this is the reason you and I were created, to have an unending relationship with God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, again. Verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. This is just another proof that God had you and I on his mind long before he created us. Before you and I were created, God had a plan to bring us into his family as his children whom he loves. First John chapter 3. Let's turn there. 1 John chapter 3. We will read verse 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is a wonderful part of Scripture. We have showing us the future that we have with Jesus Christ, the Father, and the kingdom of God. We cannot, brethren, on our own earn the reward of eternal life. It's only through God's grace that we can accomplish this. The Scriptures not only point out the existence of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, before time began, but it shows they also had a plan for you and I to become their sons and daughters. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Here we have this word again, phrase again, before time began. Let's return back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm going to read these two verses that we just read earlier. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So Jesus Christ was with the Father before creation. Now let's prove this by turning to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, where Christ and the Father were making plans to create this vast earth that mankind was put here to maintain. Take care of the things that he has created. So they thought about this. They had plans about this before the beginning of time. So Proverbs chapter 8. We will begin reading in verse 25. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Who was brought forth? Jesus Christ. For while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. All of us, I don't know how. If you thought about this, hopefully you have. You go to the beach, you see the waves come in, come to the shore, and they go back out. That's normal because God planned it that way. God has the control over the sea. What would happen if the sea could just come in and go where it wanted to? You wouldn't be at the beach, I'm sure. Because it just swipe you away. But those waters are under control. They come to the shore, and God says, this is far as you can go. So they go back out. Now, God has a limit. That's what the scripture says. He controls that. Now, hold your place there. We'll prove that statement. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Genesis 1, verse 9 and 10. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So this tells us that at some point in time, the earth was covered with water. God had to separate the water from the dry land. So once he did that, let's look at verse 10. God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. See, there was a lot of planning going on, but God had the power to do this, separate, place the water in its place. Then the dry land appeared. Notice I read that God had to encircle around the waters there to bring them into control before the dry land could appear. Let's go back to verse 30 of Proverbs chapter 8. Christ is saying here, verse 30, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his sight, rejoicing always before him. So it seems that God the Father and Jesus Christ was having a joyful time there together at this time. verse 31, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instructions, be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. Although those who hate me love death. These verses show the wisdom of God before creation, but it also shows the presence of Jesus Christ with God, relating back to verses 1 and 2 of John chapter 1. God has not planned the universe and our existence in a haphazard way. Instead, he carefully designed everything down to the last detail. So what does all of the things we have read about today have to do with living by faith in the promises of God? Well, the answer is everything. I want to give you 4 points that we must apply to our everyday lives that will give us living faith in the promises of God. First of all, let's identify faith. And we go back to the Hebrews to find this out. Hebrews chapter 11, as we know, has always been called the faith chapter. And it states in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of all things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith means that we are certain of all the things we hope for, convinced of all the things we do not see. But how can we be certain? How can we be convinced? The answer is simple. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. It's difficult for us as humans to comprehend the concept of before time began. But the scriptures reveal that God laid out his amazing purpose and the plan for mankind before time began. Point number one will be knowing that God cannot lie gives us living faith in the promises of God. Point number two, living by faith gives us victory over death. Through a resurrection of the dead, God promises to reunite us, loved ones, and after eternal life, we will be there with him. Eventually, God's plan is to destroy death, because death has always been humanity's enemy. It brings loneliness. It brings sadness. Brings disorientation. We know that God will take us into his kingdom where death will not exist anymore. Eventually, there will come a time when death itself will be banished. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and immortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Point number 3. Staying focused and believing in what God says. There are people that will read the Bible but don't believe what the Bible says. And I say this because you and I have seen this happen so many times. People that we knew and loved, they read the Word, they commented on what they read, but they don't believe what they read. Why is this? It is because humans dealing with the facts will believe what they want to believe. I give you an example of this. We have known about for many, many years. John chapter 3 and verse 13. John chapter 3 and verse 13 is very plain. Christ says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now these words are the word of Christ himself. Red letters in most Bibles. Christ said, no one has ascended up to heaven. No human flesh. And we have read in the scriptures where no flesh can inherit or be in the kingdom of God. Yet thousands and thousands of people read this, but they don't believe it. Interesting to note that most of the Bible commentaries will shy away from this part Scripture. They don't say a whole lot about it because they don't agree with it. Brethren, we are pleased beyond, we should be pleased beyond measure to have God's truth. Notice what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, be turned aside to fables. On the weekends, I know many of you have noticed these huge arenas that are filled with thousands and thousands of worshipers. They are not there seeking God's truth. The world does not want God's truth. They are there to get satisfaction in their ways, in the societies that they are enjoying. But the sobering part about this is, it's coming a time when they will believe what God says, one way or the other. They will see what sin does, and if not repented of those sins, they will see the end result. Because we know, we have read many times, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where it says, the wages of sin is death, The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. What it's saying is the payoff. What we earn, we don't repent. You know, it's eternal death. God has given us, brethren, the chance to do that now. And the judgment is on the house of God now. Our chance is now. Point number four. Living by faith and not by sight. And I want to spend a little time on this last point. The future of eternity is beyond our wildest dreams. Therefore, it is vital to know, brethren, the price we pay now, dealing with the things that we have to endure in this life, cannot be compared to the reward that awaits us in the near future. Living by faith is not something we can take lightly. Living by faith and not by sight requires having a vision. So what is a vision? Having a vision means being able to visualize. And visualizing is the beginning of a fulfilled version. And we have read many times, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Knowing that the love of God for us, that he sent his only begotten Son. And Christ paid the price. You see, brethren, in God's sight, you mean something. You are not a complete failure. You are not a hopeless person. God says you are worth having. I sent my Son to die for you. You're worth having. You're worth loving. God's greatest physical creation is you. Let's accept the fact, brethren, God has called you out of all the governmental officials, out of all the world's dignitaries, out of all the millions and billions of people that are walking the streets in these cities and towns and the byways. You are called. Those people are still out there. You are called. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 26. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. One other thing to keep in mind, you have value. You are not inferior to anyone, different. Yes, wonderfully different. We must remember you are God's idea in his image. God chose you for his purpose, according to his likeness. And God has never made a mistake. You were not made to be exactly like any other person. But each person was made for a purpose. God has a vision about you and a vision for you. Let's notice this. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Favorite verse in this chapter is verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This same verse translated from the Amplified Bible says, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Again, I go back and say again, you are important. God loves you. God has called you to do a work. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We also find in Daniel chapter 6, Mr. Scott mentioned something about this last Sabbath. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Daniel 6, verse 4 says, the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. So what is our assignments for our calling in baptism? Brethren, you and I have been assigned to do the work of God, to be faithful in doing so. God will complete this work he has begun in us until he will return. We said living by faith and not by sight requires vision. There can be no doubt about the vision is needful. And what can vision produce? It enhances our perception of what will occur or be produced if a certain plan, of course, is followed. It increases our discernment and sharpens our judgment about which way we should go. So as we look back on these points, point number one, as we conclude, we know that we can be assured that we can live by faith in the promises of God, knowing that God will not and cannot lie. This was Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Point number two, we can live by faith in the promises of God, knowing that through the resurrection of the dead, God will give us victory over sin and over death. Point number three, we can live by faith, the promises of God, by staying focused on His plan of salvation. For those who keep His laws, His commandments, and the future of being with Him all eternity in the kingdom of God. Point number four, living by faith, not by sight, requires us to stay and keep the vision. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So, brethren, in conclusion, this is the doorway. We step to continue in all its fullness the kind of life that God has already instructed us to be and to live. We have begun to put this into practice and continue as His companions, His children, His sons and daughters, living by faith in the promises of eternity. We asked at the beginning how broken promises affect us spiritually. It can cause us to lose faith. Can cause us to have doubt and trust. But we know that God, our Father, and Jesus Christ will never break their promise. We can live by faith in the promises of God. So, brethren, wherever we are, let's work every day to be the best person we can be. Doing the best we can, do with what we have to do with, to the glory of God.